You're listening to Neurodiversity at Work.
Life can be so shady. The way some people try to bring you down. Why's it got to be so crazy? Always trying to give you the run around.
Roy, welcome to the podcast. Thank you very much for joining me today. I'm really interested and fascinated in what you're going to be sharing with us because, Roy, I feel like technology has the power and the potential to really help those who are neurodiverse. It can also be a barrier in some instances and has been in the past, but I absolutely 100% believe that given the right focus, technology can really empower those people who are neurodiverse. And I think there's no greater example of this than what we're currently going through, COVID, right? People have been locked in their homes. They're using technology in ways that they've possibly never used it before, even if we think around online shopping, Zoom meetings. And that actually gives greater access to things, not just jobs, but also a variety of other things. So I think this is such an exciting period in time. And Roy, if you'd just like to introduce yourself, let our audience know who you are, who you work for, and and what they do, what technology you have at your hands, what you're providing.
Thank you for the opportunity. I'm Roy Baladi. I lead corporate social responsibility at Smart Recruiters, starting the Smart Recruiters nonprofit called Smart Recruiters Cares. I grew up in Lebanon, which is where I am at the moment, right here in the mountains. But I spent 20 years in the United States, the last six being in San Francisco, where I've been helping build smart recruiters, held various hats from product management to building the marketplace, so different recruiting technologies that connect into smart recruiters, to organizing our conferences, which had a very strong focus on inclusion and how to achieve hiring success, and now leading our nonprofit.
Fantastic. We just had a moment before where I got to hear the outside world in Lebanon, and it sounds like you're in a really, truly incredible place. It's really lovely. I wish I was there myself. For those who don't know, what smart recruiters do. Can you just kind of draw a picture for us of who they are and what the technology provides?
Sure. Smart Recruiters is a San Francisco, well, actually global, recruiting technology company. So we are an applicant tracking system connected to a CRM. So basically the recruiting software that companies around the world can use in order to make all their hires. There are 4,000 companies at the moment that use smart recruiters, such as Visa, IKEA, LinkedIn, Bosch, Alaska Airlines, and many, many others, Twitter. They use smart recruiters to post all their jobs, receive candidates, interview them, send them offers and hire them, configure their hiring processes, and do this globally all under one product.
Brilliant. And it's interesting because when we spoke the other day, I wasn't aware, too sure, how much focus ATS, CRM providers were giving to, neurological differences. There's certain legal requirements from an accessibility perspective, that they may need to follow. But how far do organizations go beyond that to ensure their technology is accessible, right? So tell me a little bit about what neurodiversity means to you, I guess from the perspective of how the technology, first of all, is supporting candidates who may be neurologically different.
Yeah, sure. Starting off with what does neurodiversity mean to me? It simply means that there are different ways in which there is a whole array of of ways in which the brain functions. And we're just barely scratching the surface of it. And so it simply means brain diversity. That's what neurodiversity means to me. From a technology standpoint, there are tools that allow a person who is neurodiverse to be able to access the internet and to be able to access recruiting softwares. I'm going to talk about accessibility in general and then dive a bit more in depth into the neurodiverse population. There are rules and regulations, actually more like guidelines right now in the world, that do ask for technology to be accessible for a person who maybe deaf or blind or hard of hearing or is having difficulty seeing or is colorblind or needs any kind of special accommodation in order to access the technology product, but even also access the physical space once they do go in for an interview. These regulations, and there are some tests for them, WCAG is the acronym. And unfortunately, when it comes to compliance and what the law enforces, it's in the United States, it's really come down to EEO and OFCCP. So they take a look at race, gender, disability status, and veteran status. However, the guidelines for accessibility for the deaf, for the blind, for anyone who needs reasonable accommodation are published. And it's for every technology provider, not just a recruiting system, to follow. We followed it. We took some tests. I don't have the exact details of which exact tests we've taken, but we did get a 94% pass rate, which was fairly high, especially in comparison to the audits on other recruiting systems. We've taken a strong focus on diversity and inclusion of people from all walks of life. And this does include accessibility, and this does include the neurodiverse, and it goes far beyond that. And when we talk about diversity and inclusion within the context of an organization, we can think of three main components. It's people, process, and product. And so we've taken measures with each one of them, making sure that our people are diverse, those who come into the system, but also, since we're a recruiting system, the candidates who apply, being able to reach out to a diverse population, keeping our doors open to them through people, approaches that encourage people to come in through people functions. On the process, again, because we are a recruiting system, then the process is, we talk about the hiring process, and we talk about how do we get organized internally in order to ensure that if somebody is neurodiverse or if someone does have any kind of, I don't like to use the word disability, because neurodiversity and disability are two very different things. They're not the same. But for those who have a visible or an invisible disability, to be able to be accessible to them from a process standpoint, and then from a product standpoint, to make sure that we seek out those tests, we seek out those experts who can come and help educate us and educate our product team on how to make Smart Recruiters an accessible product for anyone with diverse needs.
Fantastic. So I know that when we talked before, you've had Agni Orti, Sarah mm-hmm. Jane Harvey talk at your events a couple of times. Who else have you worked with? Who do you get involved as experts? What types of groups or people to ensure that, from a candidate perspective, it is meeting the needs of those candidates?
I'd like to start with a guy called Joshua Klipp. And Josh is an accessibility expert. There are certain standards, and you can get something like an equivalent of a bar exam for lawyers, but something similar to it for people who just get a certain level of knowledge when it comes to accessibility. And Josh has helped us has helped guide our product. He's helped guide our conferences that we organize in order to make sure that, and he's come into the company and explained what accessibility is for the broader audience that's within Smart Recruiters on what accessibility is and what steps we must take in order to be open to all. We've also invited people like Stephen Jones, who's an diversity and inclusion expert, who really opened our eyes to how what diversity is and what normal is and what culture fit is. And he's had a chance to, you know, present to an audience of 1,200 people in the US and 500 in Amsterdam, with some strong follow-ups with the audience. We've had Kimberly Jones, who built the data, the diversity and inclusion practice for NASA, Honda, and a few other companies. We've had the person leading diversity and inclusion at the Atlanta Hawks. We've also had blind speakers from the Lighthouse for the Blind, William Butler, to explain what are the capabilities that a blind person can do, and what technologies are out there for someone to, for any organization to be able to be accessible to them. We've done the same with Thibaut Duchemin and Sam Sipa, and a few others as well, who are deaf and who have built technology that's accessible, that makes the world accessible for the deaf by live captioning everything that's being said. We've gone fairly far. We've invited friends who were formerly incarcerated, some for 20, 30 years. We've had 80 of them come to our conference, and we've done an empathy exercise with people who had spent their lives in prisons. There was like an exercise called Step to the Line, where you had recruiters on one side of the line, and the other you had people formerly incarcerated, were just recently released in some cases. Showcase what privilege is by having a one-on-one exercise for 30 minutes. That was extremely emotional. We've also had something we called reverse recruiting. At every one of our conferences and at 20 different instances, we've invited job seekers who come from underserved communities and with recruiters so that they could help, the recruiters can help them with their job search, open up their networks, help them land jobs. And we've had lots of success stories. We've also showcased stories of refugees and refugee programs that Capgemini has opened up. And many refugees have gotten jobs as a result of this. Trans awareness has also been a strong area of focus as well for us. We've tried to look at disability solutions have come in and given workshops at Smart Recruiters and at our hiring success conferences so they can access our customer base to talk about invisible disabilities. What does ADHD, depression, what does Lyme disease, what does any types of invisible disabilities, and how you can start to work with them to create a safe space for your employees who may be neurodiverse. So it went even beyond the work that Sarah Jane has had, because Sarah Jane has really impacted our customer base. And many of them have invited her to follow up and go into their offices to build either employee resource groups or safe spaces, quiet spaces, sensory seeking spaces, and make sure that they are sensitive to the neurosensitive people. So, yeah.
That's incredible. That's really good. I mean, I'm so pleased to hear the wide variety of people that you've brought in to guide you and to help you understand these differences and challenges that many people face. And I think it's really commendable. But I guess, okay, so one thing I've been talking about recently is time. And time, we're impacted by time, we're rushed to do things. We wake up in the middle of the night, you know, thinking, oh, I've got to do that. I've not done this. And there's a lot of pressure on us as individuals within organizations, within our own lives, that there's never enough time. And I guess what I'm really passionate about and enthusiastic about now is how do we enable people to get the time that they need? This could be candidates. This could be hiring managers. This could be recruiters. What can we do? And this is where technology comes in, I guess, if it's done correctly. How can technology enable recruiters to have more time so that they can have these conversations, that they can really start to think around neurological differences and all the other differences that exist so that they can get the best people? And again, on the other side, hiring managers can do that. So what does smart recruiters look like from that perspective, you know, from the user perspective, the recruiter, the hiring manager?
Smart recruiter saves you time. And it saves you hours and minutes of your day. It gets rid of a lot of mundane tasks that you don't need to worry about. It does put processes in place that allow to reduce bias in a major way. So this is what the product does in order to facilitate that on both the recruiter's perspective and the candidate's perspective, because they're intricately linked. If the recruiter is late, then the candidate will feel anxious because they're not hearing back. If the recruiter cannot follow through the candidate applications that they're receiving, then a lot of candidates will not hear back and the recruiter will feel overwhelmed. Similarly, for candidates, if it takes them a ton of time to just submit one application and the odds of, you know, hearing back after one application are pretty slim, and therefore it takes a lot of applications to job applications to be able to get a response back. So time is an important factor. So here's what Smart Recruiters does on both ends of the equation. Let's start with the candidate side, because you started with this one, and then we'll go to the recruiter side. So for candidates, the job application is very easy on Smart Recruiters. It takes less than 5 minutes. And if you've applied once to a assistant to a job on Smart Recruiters, and when I say a job on Smart Recruiters, I mean the 4,000 companies that use Smart Recruiters. They publish jobs. All of these jobs end up inside the product Smart Recruiter system. So the application is a Smart Recruiters application, even though you might find it on different job sites, Indeed, LinkedIn, Career Builder, Craigslist, whichever one candidates look for or look in. And so the application is much faster. The application is accessible on mobile, on web. The application is readable by screen readers. It also complies so that in case that someone is colorblind, they're able to move through with the application. It works with the different technologies. If you want to zoom a text and see it enlarge, because you want to submit an application. And it also connects with the different recruiting systems out there. So if you're on Indeed and you want to use your Indeed profile to just import it and apply, you can do that. So all of these pieces save you time. If you have your resume, it'll completely parse it for you in any language it is or in any format it is. And so it'll come pretty much pre-populated. You just have to send a note to the hiring manager. And I don't mean a cover letter. I just mean literally a few words to personalize so that they could have a nice word of introduction before they see your profile. And also, if you've ever applied to a job on Smart Recruiters, you'll have your smart profile, which means that any future application will be pre-populated and pre-filled for you. Smart Recruiters is taking additional steps now down the road to be able to proactively identify the best jobs that you're suited for within the Smart Recruiters network and potentially beyond, so the search is done for you. You just have to ensure that you want to apply to this particular company and complete your application. So this is these are some things that we do at the front end of the application. But then once you submit your application, candidates often find themselves in a black hole because they won't hear back, or they don't have a way to know where they are in the hiring process. And so Smart Recruiters takes it a step further. There's a candidate portal that every job applicant has access to the moment they submit an application. Which, for example, if a candidate applies to any job at Visa, then they get to see where they are in the hiring process at this company. Are they in review stage? Are they in interview stage? Offer or hire? Have they been rejected? They can see that full transparency there. They can communicate back with the hiring team, and they can see their profile exactly how it was, how a recruiter sees it in case they want to make any corrections and amendments to it post application. Or if they have something new, new circumstances in their lives or a new award they want, something they want to showcase, they could put that there. And if they just do it once and it propagates to all the applications that they've applied to on Smart Recruiters. So it is a big time saver from the application to the follow through for candidates.
And what about anonymization of information and things like that? What options are there to, you know, I go one step further, because to make it really easy for the candidate, sometimes the flip side of that is, you know, it's maybe more difficult to lock down some of the information. So, you know, yes, you may not want names to be visible, for example, and that's difficult with a CV, of course.
Correct. So on the recruiter side of things, how do we ensure that A, we save them time, and B, we reduce bias as much as humanly possible?
Yeah.
So first of all, Smart Recruiters is an intelligent recruiting system. By that, I mean a recruiter does not need to write a job, post a job in multiple different places. They just have to write their job description once, and lots of templates are available for them from the best practices, so that they can write something that is a job description that is not overly male dominant, for example, or would brush off certain segments of the population. And so it does have examples that you can import and build your job description. From that standpoint, Smart Recruiters connects to 400 plus different job boards, where you are able to post your job in different niche sites or general sites, including, when I say niche sites, I mean more than 10 or 15 different sites for where diverse candidates are. So for example, 70 million jobs is a job board that you can publish straight by just writing one job description, the same one that you sent to LinkedIn and Indeed, is one that you can send to 70 million jobs, which has a population of people who are formerly incarcerated. You can do the same with different diversity sites and different niche sites within different industries. So that is a time saver. So if you're trying to hire a designer, then you can publish it in Media Bistro, in Dribbble, and different sites that where designers are there. Then you go down the hiring process. Smart Recruiters has a matching algorithm. And here we properly use the term machine learning algorithm that is able to understand what's in a job description, that's able to understand what's in a candidate profile, break it down to its component skills, and produce a match score. This match score is good because it allows to reduce bias on, okay, I'm going to first go through this stack of 50 profiles and I'm going to order it randomly based on the first application that came through, but I oftentimes can't get to application number 50 because I just don't have that attention span. And sometimes some people apply and spray and pray. So not every application is done with an equal amount of attention to the job based on the qualifications that you have, and B, rigor, like putting in your proper information. So this is where a match score can rank the candidates, and irregardless of, you know, their race or their creed or any kind of differences that they may have. So this does help in order to prioritize your work based on merit, based on the content of your resume, relative to the content of that job description. And the ranking of one candidate to a job can be different if they apply to job A versus job B, based on their qualifications. Then it goes a step further. When someone reviews a particular candidate's profile and interviews them, they leave a feedback and they leave a review. This review can be leading, because if you come in and see your boss having given a 5-star rating for a particular candidate, because they love them, then, and you don't think that they're a great fit because for some reason you might be skewed by your boss because you just don't want to be contrary to your boss, because it's always a guessing game. It's a best guess game when you're interviewing someone and trying to leave a review. So there's an option to leave all the cards down. You don't see anybody else's reviews until you give your own objective review. When it comes to masking candidate names, we don't have a current feature at the moment that removes all the names right from the system, but we do have a feature, and this is something that is on the roadmap for the product team. But what we do have at the moment is an ability to, there are certain questions that the government asks. So you are able to mask the answers to diversity questions. So if a particular candidate is self-announces as being, you know, African-American or having a certain disability or needing a reasonable accommodation, oftentimes they may be uncomfortable sharing this because they feel that the hiring team might be biased against them. Within Smart Recruiters, there are certain questions that you can come and mark as, you know, diversity type questions. And these diversity questions are completely masked by anybody at the hiring team. And so they don't get to know these answers. The only person who would know is the admin of the system and you know, the recruiter, if they have this admin role, in order to be able to provide that reasonable accommodation and in order to be able to report on diversity metrics to the government, depending on, you know, the countries in which you operate in. There are different rules and regulations. In Ireland, there are certain rules about, you know, based on religious lines. In the US, there are certain rules based on, you know, all the four criteria I mentioned before. In South Africa, there are certain rules based on black versus white and which area of management they're in. And so the answers to these questions that candidates, you know, provide are masked from the hiring team, but are present in the reports that are given back to the admins of the system, and that ultimately go to the government in order to ensure best practices. So this helps reduce bias at the hiring team level so that they can focus on the qualifications of the candidates. The last thing I do want to add is that Smart Recruiters is connected with many different, over 600 different recruiting technologies, among which are assessments, coding assessments, personality assessments. And so some of them are very helpful in terms of, in order to assess the qualifications of a particular person, provide a score beyond the match score that we offer in order to allow the top candidates to surface rather than leave it to either guesswork or, and they provide substantial additional evidence and cues for recruiters to be able to make sound decisions beyond the name of a particular person or their race or anything else like that.
Brilliant. I think the assessment piece is something I'm really interested in, because I think the variety that you've got is brilliant. But I do see an opportunity at some point in the future whereby we lower the barrier so that, and maybe this is in terms of cost or in terms of sharing revenue or what, I don't really know, but we lower the barrier so that organizations can give greater variety to candidates. And I'm yet to see this on a big scale yet. Maybe it's happening, I don't know. But, you know, whereby an organization could go, here's five different types of assessment. You know, one might be your traditional psychometric, one might be gamified, one might be build Lego, whatever it is. But you, the candidate can pick, rather than what tends to happen is, you know, a client selecting one option. And that's because that provider. So I don't expect you, Roy, to say, hey, yeah, we've achieved this. But I think, you know, that's something for me that could be really exciting. And I think maybe something Smart Recruiters could lead on, maybe trying to get that collaboration, because I think you, from what I've seen in the marketplace, you are very, very good at building those networks and relationships with suppliers. So I will watch with a keen eye, Roy, to see where you develop this. But it is good to see that level of variety and choice.
It's a great idea. It's an absolutely great idea. And it's also, we're keen listeners on what are the best practices. So everything I've shared with you so far have come through conversations with uncovering what we don't know. And there's a world of things that we don't know, especially if you come from a place where, some people are part of a majority and therefore they don't know what they don't know. This idea of being able to have a blend of assessments that a particular candidate can take, and also even having some of the assessments be crowdsourced and crowd-rated, whereby they could have certain badges of, let's say, this assessment is friendly for people of a particular community.
Yes.
So that we can have a blend of assessments and not have just a set of assessments that haven't taken into account a segment of the population.
Yeah. I mean, I like gamified assessment because it takes some of the immediate thinking out of it. What I struggle with my ADHD and dyslexia is that if I take traditional psychometrics, I overthink it. I spend too much time, and they say overthinking these things is kind of the wrong thing to do, but that's what happens. Whereas the gamified element of it takes it completely out of my control. So I find that works for me, but however, it doesn't work for everybody. And some people, perhaps on the autism spectrum, they may feel that the uncertainty around what's being assessed, that can be quite concerning for them. And actually, therefore, they may not like the gamified element at all. Whereas the traditional psychometric assessment, there's more certainty. So perhaps, and we don't want to overgeneralize here, but I'm just, giving the two opposite ends of, the thinking here, is that they may find that much more reassuring because they can see exactly what's being asked of them and they feel more comfortable with it. So this is why I think the blended approach, that if you could get maybe five companies together to agree to share revenue or whatever it is and give that as a selection, I think would be incredible. And I'd really be excited to see that as an option. What are your thoughts? What do you have currently?
Yeah, there is a huge variety of assessments out there. The assessment providers have really gotten extremely creative because some assessments need to be gamified. Some assessments need to be really simple based on their use case. Others need to be extremely rigorous. And therefore, that's created a very wide array. I can talk to you about two of them that are gamified, one of which was created by an autistic person. The actual chief psychometrician is autistic, and this company is called Good & Co. If you check out Good & Co, their assessments are free. And if you like gamified assessments, they're an excellent one, and they definitely take the neurodiverse population in mind. They're actually the ones who've introduced me to Sarah Jane, and we're on stage at Hiring Success. So if you check Smart Recruiter's YouTube channel and you look for neurodiversity or Sarah Jane, you'll find a couple of sessions of hers that are extremely brilliant. But there's another one called Traitify, which allows people to swipe right, swipe left based on statements. And it does reduce a good amount of cognitive overload and trying to perfect the answer that way. And there are others that are just a lot more black and white in terms of assessments. So if you look for any kind of coding assessments, a live coding, the answer is either you know the answer of the challenge or you don't. And so there are ways that there's a blend of things that are out there, and having a menu would be great. That's a great idea.
Well, I'll welcome the opportunity to help you out if you start to look at that. Absolutely. And Stan, who works at Smart Recruiter, I've had on the show as well. I know that he works with partners as well. So maybe I don't know exactly. Maybe I should be putting some pressure on him as well to help me get that one, to help me achieve that one. Because I think it is something that I'm quite passionate about. And I think when we talk about technology, that's where I really see the opportunity. Mm-hmm. So it's great. It's great to hear there's so much going on. So from an organizational perspective, Roy, if we just bring it to a close on that basis, what, like, I imagine Smart Recruiter is a fairly neurologically diverse because they're a tech company. And again, you know, no generalizing, well, a little bit of generalizing, but the reality is tech companies, and of the, what, 300 people global, I imagine you're pretty neurologically diverse already, right?
We are. And I mean, I can see it in some of my colleagues. I can see stemming by certain colleagues. And I can see some colleagues who really love extreme structure in the way things are presented and having a proper agenda from top to bottom before getting into a meeting. I can see some of my colleagues sometimes really agonize over a particular presentation that they want to give. And I can see some that are just overly gregarious and constantly hyper-excited, and you're wondering why. So all of these are signs of, you know, brain diversity. And so we welcome that at Smart Recruiters. We actually find it to be a sign of strength because it allows to uncover lots of different perspectives. It allows geniuses to be themselves. And the advent of, you know, COVID has made it such that if some people are uncomfortable in group settings and socializing right and left, or are extremely efficient and don't necessarily want to deal with crazy long commutes, then this has naturally made it available to anyone at Smart Recruiters and beyond. And also within our offices, we do have, you know, quiet rooms, and we have sensory seeking rooms, whereby depending on your mood, you can just nip in and out of one or the other and do your thing. We haven't gotten to the point where you can come in, for example, and say, I'm wearing a badge today. I'm in like no touch day or no speak day. We haven't gotten to that point yet, but this is something that Sarah Jane has brought up in one of our conferences, and something that we've actually considered. So we are fairly open, and we are a diverse group, and proud to be so.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Yeah, I think there's just something around being, I'd say, you know, it's obviously not my saying, but seek first to understand, then to be understood. And I think, you know, even without the badges or anything else that may help people understand, sometimes it is literally just being aware that some people, you know, if they're wearing headphones, they don't want to be bothered, right? just let them get on with their work. And you, by disrupting them, you could really negatively impact on their day. So I think there's something to just be mindful. And I think that if that's across the organization, if you're getting people in, that's a statement of intent. You know, you're getting people in to talk about this and to challenge what you do and how you do it. That is great. And I'm really interested to see where you go, where Smart Recruiters goes, because it seems that, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on with you, which is fantastic. There's a lot of really good conversations.
One additional detail is I meditate every day. And we have a little meditation group. Four or five of us meditate every day in the office. And it's totally okay to book a conference room and then just sit there and be still and be quiet. The culture at Smart Recruiters very much champions letting people be themselves as much as possible. And there's nothing weird that takes place there, even though I've done handstands in the office and I meditate every day. And this is perfectly normal. And this is part of the culture.
Incredible. Well, Roy, it's been an absolute pleasure to hear about the work that you're doing. It's brilliant. And it's a real pleasure to talk to you and hear about what's going on in your world. And I am seriously jealous about where you are. And some of the noise of the outside the mountains crept in there, which is lovely. It must be such a lovely place to be currently.
I'm going to take a step out so you can hear the crickets. I don't know if you can hear them a bit more now.
Yes. Brilliant.
Yeah, this is my background music. Thank you, Theo. Thank you for having me on the show.
Roy, thank you so much. You've been listening to Neurodiversity at Work, available on all good podcast hosts. Please do sign up now, like, share, and comment. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you.